had the white cassette of that single. MCA Records Ghostbusters soundtrack, man. Shout out to the king.
Good Lord.
The king of R&B. Bobby Brown.
Mr. Bobby Brown.
The king of R&B for sure.
Yeah, man.
When you listen to it, you can't really debate it.
You can't debate it.
Listen. No.
Great chemistry with LA and Face that Bobby had.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
Another week of the State of Black Music podcast. Thillionaire has arrived.
Claude Kelly in the building.
What's up, guys and girls? It's Chuck Harmony. I'm here for you.
Bacon for Making is in the building. What's going on, y'all?
Well, I'm like, well, today's going to be a treat.
Big treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not bullshitting here on these episodes. You know what I'm saying? You got Mary J. Blige, you got Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and this is no different.
No different.
So we're knocking them over the head.
With legends.
With kings.
And more to come.
And more to come. But Mr. Bobby Brown, come on.
You know what I'm saying? It don't get no better.
I mean, so many hits. From New Edition to the solo career.
Yes.
Back to New Edition.
Back to New Edition.
Because you know what my joint was? Hit Me Off.
Hit Me Off was a jam. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That was a comeback.
That was one hell of a comeback.
What a comeback.
Fall of 96. I'll never forget that.
Yo, I remember the video with the all white on. Come on, man.
And then they were like superheroes.
Then they were on Family Matters.
You've ever seen. Oh, that great. Who produced that song? Who produced Hit Me Off?
Philip Silky White?
Yeah, Silky. Someone named Silky.
I don't know who that is.
Shout out Silky.
Shout out to Silky White.
His name is Silky White.
His name is Silky.
Ooh, that's a jam. She's the finest thing I've ever seen.
She's like a natural queen. Their vocals sound good.
Yeah, crazy.
The production kind of sound like Brandy first album.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Who's Philip Silky White? I gotta do my research, but that's who produced Hit Me Off and co-wrote it with Dinky Bingham, Jeff Dyson, Ronnie DeVoe, Michael Bivins, and Bob James, which is the sample.
Got it.
But I got, you know.
That song was nuts.
Mm-hmm. I also love from that same album, but it was a remix of You Don't Have to Worry with Missy on it. And Bobby killed that vocal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
The Bob James sample, what was the original? Because I wonder if that's what I love about it. Is it the?
Is the sample?
Is it the sample that gave me the feeling?
Could it be?
Could it be
the sample that gave me the feeling I feel?
This is the original from Bob James.
Okay. It's so dope.
So you learned something new here at the State of Black Music podcast. Man.
See, we just gave him some shine because he probably deserves it.
And I got to say, as a producer, I'm sorry, Silky White, but Bob James gave me the feeling.
The original?
Yeah, that's the feeling.
That's the feeling.
But you know, I miss when samples weren't so obvious. Like, I feel like nowadays, it's like...
It's the record.
It's the record.
Like, people ain't crate digging no more.
No, nah. But that's a smart sample too.
Yeah, very.
It's
smart.
It's a smart sample.
Smart ass sample. That's really good. That felt good, man.
Yeah, Bob James.
Bob James and Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
State of Black Music.
Phil, what's your favorite Bobby Brown song?
Two come to mind, but I'll pick one.
Okay.
Rock With You. I wanna rock with you, baby.
All night long. I wanna roll with you, baby. That's a good one. It's good. Timon, I know you got a plethora.
Ooh, it's
but
a
pick
lot.
One.
It's a lot, but if I had to choose one right now, it's from the Bobby album, Till the End of Time. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Still knocks hard to this day.
Chuck?
I would have to say Humping Around.
Do you feel what I'm saying to you?
Like, I love that groove. Get up off that.
Crazy.
That video was crazy.
Yeah, the video was crazy.
That choreography, like
crazy. My favorite would be on the Bobby album too. I love Good Enough.
Good Enough was
awesome. I love Good Enough.
That was great.
Yeah.
Who produced Good Enough?
Babyface.
Babyface, right?
Yeah, Babyface.
Yeah, with that swing, you know that's face.
And I will not stop till I know your heart.
Hey, y'all better be able to sing on this podcast, huh? Y'all had me on that note right there, that real quiet Phil, note.
Phil cut in like Joe Jackson, like, y'all better sing it right now.
That was Chuck Harmony on bass, by the way.
And I want to, that was so Good Enough was Babyface, LA, and Daryl Simmons.
Got you.
Yeah.
I want to give Daryl Simmons his love because he was very
what up, Daryl?
Instrumental.
Instrumental.
Yeah, but that song, I love that song. But I mean, he got a lot of records.
Yeah man.
Because I think that people don't realize that when they call him the king of R&B, sometimes people say it sarcastically, but like Bobby Brown did everything. Like, didn't he go diamond?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Don't Be Cruel, I think is.
Hello?
Yeah.
Enough said.
Seven times platinum.
Seven times?
Yeah.
That ain't nothing.
According to the RIAA.
They nothing to sneeze at.
Though. And that's just in the U.S., so it probably arguably could be diamond.
Yeah. Worldwide, yeah.
State of Black Music.
Would you say that New Edition is one of the biggest and most revered black bands of all time?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Earth, Wind & Fire, big, if we're being honest?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. New Edition, when you think about New Edition, not only, we're grateful because of Michael Bivins and we attribute that to him, but there wouldn't be a Boys to Men without New Edition.
Exactly.
There wouldn't be a New Kids on the Block without a New Edition.
No.
And even as I watched the This Is Pop doc on Netflix,
you see.
Seeing that New Edition birthed the Boys to Men, that's what sparked 90 Degrees and Backstreet and NSYNC.
Yes.
So New Edition was the trailblazer, continues to just sell out arenas, and I'm excited. I heard they're kicking off a tour in 22 with all six members.
There would never be another Bad Creation. Aisha, you are the girl that too soon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My bad.
But they also have some long ass careers.
Yeah.
They still all putting out music to this day. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. Yeah.
And to have the different variations of different groups and solo albums and
BBD and Johnny Gill and Bobby Brown and
like not many
all
groups,
these big brands. Yeah.
Not many groups can like do that.
No.
Because typically we see people when you see people in a group, it's like you
you're
see
stuck
them in
that
a group.
Way. Yeah. Yeah.
But for them to break off and do solo projects and RBRM and
all these
different projects, I think I've always thought that was dope. So
well, I'm excited about this conversation.
Yeah. Let's get into
it.
Let's get into it.
Bobby, where you at?
Bobby.
All right.
Hey.
Yes.
This is special. Yeah. State of Black Music.
Mm. Yes.
And we have an icon.
Legend.
Wow.
In the museum
King.
Two times. In the museum twice.
Yes.
Man, y'all ain't supposed to tell him that, man. He ain't singing it yet, bro.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the museum yet.
Y'all spoiling shit?
Well, listen. I hope you know you in this thing. Yeah. Because
they told me that I was a part of the museum, but I was told that I'm in it twice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, man.
And beyond deserved.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So we're sitting here in the museum, actually, in one of the sexy rooms of the museum, talking to the one and only Mr. Bobby Brown.
Thank you.
And there's so much to ask. Mm-hmm. And we want to dig into the music, the legacy, the other things. I mean, like, acting, all that. There's so many things to talk about. So,
but since we're here in the museum, I gotta ask, like, Bobby, did you ever think that you would be featured in a museum? Like,
good question.
That's a great question. I never thought that there would be a museum for my style of music, for our genre of music. So this museum is one of the most incredible things that's happened in the last 10 years of life. To see that our music is appreciated by the masses and that we deserve a museum like this. It's so great to be here, to be able to see and bear witness to, and nevertheless be a part of it. So I'm flabbergasted.
I'm so excited for you because you got your family with you, your kids, your beautiful wife. Or like, how does that feel? Just to, your kids, your children are going to see you, dad, in the museum, and along with some of these other amazing icons. Like, how does that feel?
That feels too special, man. Because we take our kids wherever we go, you know, to visit different countries and different cities, and we take them to different places so that they can learn history. And this is a museum, and their father's in a museum, and it's about history of our music, our culture. And it's something that I know my kids are gonna enjoy. I know it's something that I'm gonna walk with my chest out, you know, for the next few days, because of them being able to see me in a museum and knowing what their father is about and was about and what he did and what I've accomplished in my life. For them to see it firsthand is special.
State of Black Music.
We always talk here about like people getting their flowers, people deserve, you know, especially for Black artists. I feel like, if I'm being real, I feel like it's different for white artists.
Yeah,
they get respected as they age, they get opportunities forever.
They can tour as long as they want to.
Yeah, and we know that most of our icons are beyond deserving, but don't get that. Still have a hard
still
time getting that love,
yeah.
Right? So for me, a museum like this and you feeling that way about it is important because this is literally giving people their flowers.
Yeah.
Which is what we always do. Give someone their flowers. Give this person their flowers.
Before the day ends,
right.
You know?
This is it.
This is so definitely it.
I hope you receive your flowers.
Oh, thank you. you know, I'm definitely receiving them.
Yeah, for sure.
State of Black Music.
Throughout the museum, we have very strong themes when it comes to stories untold. Like social justice, women, business, etc. What do you think the role of the artist or musician in the fight for social justice and sharing these stories? What do you think about that, Bobby?
I think it's our duty to lend our opinions, our time and our spirit to whatever's going on, because we are artists. Social everything is about music, is about entertainment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how we write. That's how how we get down. And I think it's our duty, you know, to make sure that we lend our services towards it.
NAMM's tagline is the Parliament classic, One Nation Under a Groove.
Yes.
Under a groove.
What do you say? So what does that mean to you?
One nation under a groove. That means one nation. That means all of us. That means every one of us. And it doesn't mean black, white, or purple, pink, but it does mean the brothers and sisters. Now, if you feel you're a brother or a sister of our culture, then that means you too. If you can relate to what we are doing, then that means you too.
Right.
But it strictly means one nation under a groove. It means one nation, and we are one nation.
I love that.
We're not a religion. We are a nation of artists. We are a nation of people.
State of Black Music.
For a career full of great music, what do you think is great about music today, and what do you think is not so great about music today?
Let's get to it.
Let's get all the way in it.
Right.
Put the stamp on it right now. About music today is sketchy. It's so sketchy that it's to the point where freedom of speech has gotten out of hand. I think that we're not taking responsibility for what we are actually promoting to listen to for our kids. Because we'll promote, and I don't want to call these people out and saying they're not right to listen to, but their lyric content sometimes can be, you know, not right for babies, 4 years old, talking about pop this and pop that and do this and do that. It's not appropriate for them. Mm. But then there's some music that is so beautiful out there that are being written probably by guys like yourselves. Mm. That is just uplifting, and it's good to see that there's still a soul out there. There's still a pulse out there that wants to hear soulful music, that wants to hear that good R&B, that wants to hear that nice funk, that funk that make you just go like,
make you just
you can't tell it gives you chills it. When you hear it, you know. And I miss people being on a dance floor, you know. Mm. So I miss that type of music, and that, it seems like it's starting to generate that type of feel again with the R&B styles that are coming out these days. Especially, you know, I can say this boy Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes, sir. He took old sound and made it today again.
Cold jewelry shining so bright, strawberry champagne on us. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
So it was just like, it was bringing back what was old back to the new, but it was a feeling, just like you say. It was a feeling and a time. And that time is now, but it was yesterday at the same time.
Right.
So it just further lets me know that we need to do another album.
Let's go.
Because if you know that feeling, it never goes away.
It never goes away.
It's always just a song away. Mm-hmm. We always talk about this when we're thinking about who to work with. We're like, some people, it's a calculated political move. But when you find a true artist and a star, then it's always just a song away.
It's always a song away.
From literally having the whole world with their hands up in the sky. Mm-hmm. So let's go. Let's find that song.
Let's do it.
It's so interesting that you brought up Bruno Mars, because there's been this whole conversation in the last few years about cultural appropriation and all these things, and it's dope to hear that you support him.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that conversation that people are having? If you've heard of it,
I haven't heard.
So there's this narrative around Bruno Mars and people that are of a lighter hue, that they are appropriating culture. They get to succeed. They get to go a little bit further than someone that might not look like them. So there's just been this whole hoopla. I personally feel like he's doing the culture justice, but just kind of wanted to hear from you.
It's all about your soul.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's bringing his soul into the music. He's not bringing his color into the music. And his color is practically just like ours, if you look at it. We all have the same skin complexion, whether it be lighter or whether it be darker. We all are of a nation of people.
Right.
And we have to support each other, you know?
State of Black music.
I've got asked that question so many times, and I've always said that when people say that you're discrediting so many people, that, because Bruno's not by himself, he's a team, of which I've been a part of that team.
Diamond single with him.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Grenade.
But I'm almost like, but I'm a Black person that wrote for Bruno Mars, then what does that say about me?
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? So if he's not Black enough, then what about the Black person that wrote the song with him? And almost every song has some Black people in it.
Is he not Black, or
who knows? I mean, that's a tricky question, but
that's why I say his soul.
Right.
Your soul is in the music.
Absolutely.
When you put your soul into music, it doesn't matter what color you are.
Mm. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? They can say Elvis stole from R&B artists. You know, his soul was in that music.
You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing that rock.
Everybody let it rock.
Right.
That's Elvis.
Yeah.
I respect Elvis. I loved Elvis.
You loved Elvis?
I loved Elvis. Mm.
That's dope.
You know, I mean, it was just something that it was popping.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to give it to him when it's popping and he has his soul into it. So, you know, you got to give respect where respect is due.
True. I'm curious to know which other artists would surprise us that you loved.
Buddy Holly.
Mm. Really?
Just you know why you and I, we're by and by. With no true love waste. That
Buddy Holly.
That is soulful music.
Yeah. You cannot
go wrong with just listening to soulful music, man. Agreed. And appreciating soulful music. So.
Agreed. That's a good one.
That's just one of them.
Yeah. State of Black music.
I got a two-part question. What was the first record you ever bought?
Ooh.
And then two, your top five albums of all time.
Oh, That's heavy. Wow.
All right, start with part. What was the first question?
The first one was the first album I've ever bought.
Right. The first album I've ever bought was Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five Scorpio.
Wow.
Nice.
Okay.
Legends from the beginning. Yes. You feel me?
That was the only album I've ever bought in my life.
Wow.
Other than, you know, getting albums from record companies and,
right.
You know.
So that's the one and only album.
That's the only album I've ever bought.
That's super crazy. Yeah. That's a good one to have, though.
Yeah. Other than that, I've cheated, you know, and borrowed music and downloaded it and taped it. And,
we all have.
Well, cassettes.
Yeah, we all
you
did.
Know how you take a cassette and a DVD.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not the DVD, but the CD and or the record. And
yeah,
I've done all of that. My favorite five albums.
Whew. At the same time, like, whew. I feel for you.
Fingertips.
Steve Lynn.
Gotta go with Steve Lynn.
Steve Lynn Morris, absolutely.
Gotta go with, you know, MJ. I would say Thriller. I would say, this is crazy.
Right.
Because I can't, you know, albums are one thing, you know.
Yeah.
Singles is another thing.
Right.
When you think of an album, you think of... like most of Stevie's catalog.
Mm. Period. Like the whole catalog.
His whole catalog, yeah. I could say. Donnie Hathaway's whole catalog.
Now we're talking. That's what I'm talking.
Filled and lit up.
Sly Stone.
Ooh,
yeah. You know, you gotta go Sly.
So funky.
And you can't forget about Gap Band, Charlie Wilson. Mm-hmm. You can't forget about Rick James. You can't forget about street songs. Mm. Oh my God, you can't. Yeah. Oh, you can't. There's so many.
Those are some good ones.
State of Black music.
And speaking of albums, you have some iconic albums yourself.
Thank you.
You don't say. Sure does.
Knowing that we were gonna do this interview, I, of course, have been listening to your entire catalog. I just listening to King of Stage and then going into Don't Be Cruel.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, and of course we saw, there are those of us that saw the movie, but just kind of what was your headspace going from that debut album to the second album? Like, where did you feel like the pressure was on? Because of course King of Stage did not do nearly as what Don't Be Cruel did, but did you feel like
pressure
was on, or did you kind of like, were you, chillaxing, like
chillaxing.
with King of Stage, I felt that I accomplished what I set out to do. Mm-hmm. I set out to at least become successful. I set out to at least have a charted song, and I got a number one single out of it. So I was great with that. Success of the King of Stage album. I was able to tour. I was able to feed my family. We was able to drop two singles off of, you know, that one mm-hmm. album. With Don't Be Cruel, I was on a mission. I wanted to feel, taste that success of a number one song again. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to work with people that had tasted that success for the first time, which made me go to Teddy Riley and L.A. and Babyface, and still work with the likes of Larry White, you know, who wrote Girlfriend.
Yeah.
But just to taste it again, you know, just
I'm because feeling you. I guess. Absolutely.
Because it's a taste. Once you get that taste in your mouth for success, I mean, it's like you want more. You wanna do better. You wanna make sure yeah. that you work with the right people to be better. So that's what I did with that one. That's how I felt.
Yeah, I remember being super young and my folks playing that album. I think my dad had like the white cassette tape.
The MCA Records logo. Yeah. I got that, brother.
I just remember that album playing all the time. And then it ran so long to where we didn't even feel like we missed Bobby Brown because you came back in 92 with the Bobby album. Uh-huh. It was just like, but we've been hearing this whole
Don't Be Cruel on the radio, like the three, whole 4 years.
That's,
yeah.
That's called a takeover.
Right. And you we were just talking about like earlier today about how albums just don't have the shelf life that they used to have.
Right.
And I really miss 7-8 singles coming off of one album.
Yeah, me too.
And it like Don't Be Cruel ran from like what 88, 89 to like 91.
92. When Bobby came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We toured off of the Don't Be Cruel album for 4 years. Jeez. So wow.
that
lets you know just how long
what?
That album kept me out there.
Them hits.
And then Bobby, you come out with Bobby in 92 and hit us over the head again.
Again. Like,
that was just a thunk.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Thunk. Listen. We wasn't playing. Me and Teddy was Ooh. Not having it. We was in the mood. Once Prerogative was solidified and it was just like it was stamped. I was just like, you know what? Me and you got to get back in the studio. That's why we did at least 6 songs on the next album. Mm-hmm. You know, the Getaways and the Two Can Play That Games and That's the Way Love Is. Yeah. And, you know, Humping Around. We just try to hit everybody.
Can we just stop and talk about how like you are a cultural force?
Yeah,
thank you.
Like the song. But listen, the songs by themselves as a musician are like 100%. But then just living through it, it was like,
what a time!
Like you were learning how to dance. We learned how to talk to girls.
Man, we had the Gumby. Bobby had the Gumby. Right. I had the Gumby back then. Come on, man.
I got like, lots of kisses because I was just learning how to move. Okay, I got this is how it's supposed to be done. Like, there's very few artists, even though lots of people are popular, there's very few artists that come out and every time they come out, they shift culture. Man, not just the song is popular, but how you dress, how you talk, how you move. Yep. Like you and probably Mary J. Blige.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I grew up in New York City, like when y'all came out, it was like everyone had to, the whole wardrobe changed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Overnight. Everything you listened to changed. That's power.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. You know, just to be a part of that 90s changeover because it was a changeover. Mm-hmm. You know, music had become, you know, funkier, and you had to, you know, have this swag to you. Yeah. That's when swag started.
Right.
That's when everybody started to
swag.
The invention of swag. That's when you learn how to drip, you know, and how to walk, how to talk, you know.
State of Black music.
I don't think Bobby gets enough credit for being to me. I always credit Teddy with New Jack Swing, but right. I personally look at like you were the person.
Yeah.
And I respect to Keith as well, yes, you know what I mean? But I feel like when I think of New Jack Swing, that sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like...
Who mainstreamed
you,
it.
You mainstreamed Like, you you made that shit like a household. And we're like, yo, what is this New Jack Swing? Like, right. It was you. Said, that my prerogative?
And then going into the Bobby, like, it was, but that just set it off, man. I don't think people give you enough credit on the New Jack Swing co-creation along True. With Ted. Like, we True. Often give Ted, and much love to Ted.
Absolutely. Ted, always love to Ted. Say,
but, yeah. But I just wanted to just salute you here, because when I think about it, New Jack Swing, like, you, yeah, mainstream. It
mainstream, like, yeah. It's synonymous to me. It's synonymous with you. Like,
yeah. Thank
the
you.
Whole sound is because you brought it to us.
Thanks.
Introduce it to us.
And to your point about music being appropriate, it was music for the entire family.
Like family, yes.
Mama, daddy, sister. Like, everybody in our house was on Don't Be Cruel.
Yeah. You can because you can listen to it. You didn't have to bleep anything. You didn't have to, okay, we got to skip this one for the babies. No.
On the road trips.
You can just,
like, but on the same tip, don't get twisted. Like,
it did have some.
But that live show though.
Oh no, that was totally different.
You feel what I'm saying to you?
That's totally different.
The live show was
totally
a whole different.
That's totally different from albums.
Okay,
when
so
you come see me visually, you can bring the family, but it will be some parts you might have to cover some kids' eyes.
Okay, because there was always that rub. Like them songs were like sweet R&B, and but when you see that performance, you know, that video, you look and make sure no one's watching you, like jumping on stage. I love that. It's crazy.
Do you have a favorite Edgy. Song that you perform live? Like a favorite solo or any favorite song?
I love performing, man.
Any one song stands out?
No songs really stand out to me. You have to catch me at a certain time, like in the middle of the show, and ask me what song is going to be the best song.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, oh, this one, wait till I do this one.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just, it's all a feeling. It's all, you know, it's all in the moment.
Mm-hmm. State of Black music.
Outside of music, who's the most intriguing person you've ever met?
Denzel Ooh. Washington.
Mm.
Why? I'm not questioning. I'm just wondering why.
Denzel Washington, him and Mike Tyson. Mm. I would say Mike Tyson. Mm. Because he's one of the most feared but loved black figures in our genre.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the most kind and docile, respectful people that I know.
Mm.
He reads 100 books a month.
Mm.
You know, he's super intelligent. I mean, anybody that plays with pigeons in their hands, right. You know, that you know, is that soft with little animals like that has to have a soft, kind heart.
Mm-hmm.
God has to have something in him that is special. And I respect him for that. And I say Denzel Washington because Denzel is just one of the coolest dudes. You think he's cool on TV? No, Denzel's just, he's just cool in person. Everything about him, he's a gentleman to everybody. His wife, his kids, and he's just a really great person.
State of Black music.
That's a good segue to what I want to ask about, because the other part outside of music is that you've done a lot of movies
mm-hmm.
and TV shows. Yeah. Thin Line.
Thin Line.
One of my favorites, Thin Line Between Love and Hate. But do you still want to, like, what's your dream role? Do you still want to be in movies?
I still want to act. Actually, that's my next level of capturing the hearts of entertainment people who love entertainment, is to get back into movies. Still want to do music.
Mm-hmm.
Music is that's my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But acting is a part of entertainment that I feel that can't be left out, you know?
Right.
Because I am an entertainer, I love expressing myself and expressing other individuals if I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, showing another part of myself that is not me, that might not be me, playing that role.
Mm-hmm.
You know. That's special, man. That's a lot of fun. And plus, it's a hurry up and wait situation. You know what I'm saying? You work for 10 hours, but you really only work 15 minutes an hour, you know, and the rest you get to rest. You know, you go in, you do 10 minutes of work, and then they tell you go back to your trailer. You know, then like you go back out.
He's like, cool.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And you get paid for it. Yeah, you know, man. You get paid to, you know, be somebody else, you know. So I have a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
Like a serious role? You see yourself in a serious, like a...
I can see myself in any role I can quickly switch into being, you know, exactly, you know, what you think, you know, you saw before, you didn't see it.
Wow.
An Oscar for Bobby, I like that. That could be Sounds something. Right. That could yeah. that. I like goals. I'm a vision person. You know what I'm saying? I like saying it and then it happens. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just put that out there.
State of Black music.
Bobby, what was it like when you got the call? It's, you know, you're in town for the museum, but also you're participating in the Rhapsody and Rhythm Awards tomorrow night at the Ryman, presenting Miss Chaka Khan with her award.
Wow.
Ooh. Iconic, another icon, another legend.
Yes.
How does that feel, and then how has Chaka's music impacted your life?
Oh, man. This is such an honor to be chosen to give my good friend. I've known Chaka since I entered this industry. She's always been a mother-like figure to all of us in the group, and especially to me, because she was just, when I went solo, she was one of the first women that was like, you better do your damn thing, no matter what anybody says, no matter what, no matter who tries to, you know, downplay you, do you. Mm-hmm. She was the first one that ever told me to just do me. So being here to honor her is something that, I can't express in words, and I just feel so honored to just be a part of this.
Who are some of the, because there you've set the tone for a lot of other guys that came after you.
Mm-hmm.
Who are, if you can speak on it, who are some of those people in this business that you've been able to kind of give your
mentorship
to and give that push? Kind of extend that same grace that Chaka extended to you and some other people.
Oh man, there's a lot of people, but you know, I'm most proud of my brother, my little brother, Usher. He's probably one of the most premier artists that knows how to take advice, knows how to listen, knows how to take what you tell him and take it to the next level. So I'm really proud of Usher.
So you'd consider Usher a king of R&B?
I consider Usher, yes, I do consider Usher one of the kings of R&B.
I agree. You heard it from the king of R&B.
Yeah. You heard it from the king of R&B.
State of Black music.
You are a founding member.
Yes.
Of one of the biggest bands of all time.
Yeah.
New Edition.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about your legacy and catalog all the time. And in our opinion, y'all should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame already.
Yeah.
Hopefully it happens very soon. But double question, just as we wrap up. I just want to know what you tell, that how old were you started the group? 12?
13? 13.
What would you tell that 13-year-old Bobby, knowing what you know now? And after that, obviously, just how do you feel about the fact that besides your solo career, you're also equally part of so many legendary groups, primarily New Edition, but also, I mean, you've been a part of all these different chapters.
You said RBRM. I love that. I love that. That's next coming. That's up and coming. So
it's just a lot.
I appreciate that.
It's layers of legacy.
Yeah.
Starting from the age of 13. So
yeah,
I know I threw a lot at you, but I just want to. That wisdom.
How I feel. I'm grateful, for one, that we have been accepted as legends, as for what we have done, because we did sacrifice a lot being in this industry so early and so young. I would tell myself to watch my money. I would tell myself to watch out for who I hang around with, who I keep in my circle. I would ask myself, I would tell myself, you know, keep it clean, you know, because this world has so many different things they can throw at you, you know, to sidetrack you out here. And I've been through all of them. And I'm grateful that I was able to come out on the other side. But I would tell myself to watch out for those snakes, you know, those things that can bite you. And but who knows? I mean, I wouldn't probably be here if
not for all the hurdles.
If not for all the hurdles, you know. Yeah, man. But I'm glad I can go through the struggle so that other people don't have to.
Wow.
Amen.
Hence the museum, so people can experience this and learn and grow and stand on your shoulders.
Yes, sir.
Legend.
Yes.
Mr. Bobby Brown.
This has been an honor, bro.
Man, my
honor.
Thank you so much. Honor. Super honor. Duper. Thank honor. You. Thank you. Thank you so much.
State of Black Music.
Yo, great conversation with the king.
Yeah, man.
Crazy. King of R&B, Bobby Brown. Yo, y'all saw, and don't be jealous. Don't hate. I got my vinyl sign. You know,
I saw that.
I have, I'm building my vinyl collection, trying to be like Timon Bacon for Macon over here. So I'm bringing my vinyl to anybody who we're interviewing and getting it signed. So heads up. But Bobby was gracious enough to sign all my vinyl I brought in.
Yeah,
such a great, like, he was so cool.
Yeah,
so
he's such a humble guy.
I wouldn't say if he didn't have to go to get the tour, then like, he probably could have sat there for 3 more hours and just talk music.
Yeah.
He had that vibe where he like almost didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
The energy was amazing.
Yeah.
People misunderstood. I think he's so misunderstood. Like,
I think so too. Man.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Good dude.
Yeah. Legend. Another legend.
Another legend.
State of Black Music.
The Esther Roll
Award.
So it's time, guys. It's time for the Esther Roll Award.
Esther Roll Black Excellence
Award. I'm excited. I got a good one.
You got a good one?
Yeah, man.
Wait, you know, I realized we're like 2-3 episodes in and we haven't properly explained about the Esther Roll Award.
Explain.
Is the important story of how we came about the album through our dear friend and music aficionado, Timon Bacon. So, Phil, maybe you should clue the listeners in on how this all came about.
It was a cold day in Nashville, Franklin, Tennessee, to be exact. And we were at the office.
Yes, indeed.
And I heard a soundtrack playing down the hall. And it was the voice of Esther over a gospel bed.
Gospel bed. Oh, man.
And I inquired to Timon, I said, who might this be? No, I'm saying, and then Timon was like, yo, this is Esther Roll. She had a gospel album out on Savoy Records.
It was Savoy Records.
And I said, what are you talking about? And so I was in disbelief that I never knew Esther Roll had an album out. Never knew.
To that point.
Neither did I until you told us about this.
And so I was like, wow, go Esther. And then I just really started just going down the rabbit hole. And I, you know, because it's actually not a bad record. I was like, so yeah, Timon schooled me on the Esther Roll gospel album. And we all, you know, collectively started talking about Esther and some of her contribution to music and the arts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it just felt right.
Yeah, man.
To name this, you know, momentous, historic, elite
award
after this queen.
So, you know what that means, is that anyone who gets nominated has to be someone that we consider to be great, historic, elite.
Yes.
Someone who doesn't get the praise and honor they deserve, but damn well should, and they're going to get it here on the State of Black Music
Podcast.
They're
going to get it.
So, with that being said, let's just nominate the greatness.
The greatness.
We'd like to go. Timon, I feel like you have someone special in your heart.
Yes, I've been watching a lot of 227 lately. Mm. Recently discovered that it was, all of the seasons are on Amazon Prime. And this young lady recently got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And she's in watching the series, I kind of went down a rabbit hole online, just her history and what she's done for others, like how she came from the Jeffersons and went into 227 and kind of provided all these opportunities for so many Black people in the industry. So I'm talking about Miss Marla Gibbs.
Wow. Yes. That's a great one.
Yeah, she's like well into her 90s and she's still working, still creating opportunities for people. And I think she's just a legend icon.
And she's actually singing the theme song.
Yes.
227.
Yes.
That's Miss Marla Gibbs herself on vocals.
On vocals.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Like, I think about the fact that we probably wouldn't have Regina King if it weren't for Marla Gibbs.
Jack Kay.
Countess Vaughn.
It's true.
What was the husband on 227?
Lester.
Lester.
Kyle Williams.
Oh, yeah. I love him, man.
He's cool. Lester was solid.
He was a solid guy.
He was a solid dude. You know what I'm saying? You can count on Lester. Who you got, Phil?
Wow, I really want a second Timon's recommendation. Are we allowed to do that? I mean, that's a strong, but I have one that I really am proud of too, but Marla really deserves it.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I think Esther will be proud too, but I'll put my name, my recommendation in the hat. As you see today, I have on Purple Rain shirt.
Yes.
And a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of meeting this incomparable, illustrious individual, Sheila E.
Wait, you met Sheila E?
Yeah, she was in town. She had a show, two shows here.
That's dope.
And she signed my vinyl. How about that?
And I had no idea.
Why wasn't we invited?
Hello.
I had no idea.
Oh. Yeah, she was on. Okay, my bad. Yeah, great time. But Sheila E is my recommendation.
Was she cool?
She was super cool.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, she's somebody else that's been super involved in stuff over the years and she does not get her credit.
Agreed. At all. Agreed. You want me to go?
Yeah, whoever.
I want to nominate Stephanie Mills.
I love Stephanie Mills.
Jeez, this is tough.
Yeah.
I love
Stephanie. Because Stephanie doesn't get brought up in the diva conversations.
She does not.
She was the original Dorothy in The Wiz. And I keep seeing these videos of Jasmine Sullivan singing Home.
Yeah, I saw
which
that.
Which broke her career. And there's the video of Whitney Houston singing Home, which was her very first TV performance.
Mm.
So I don't think, and then of course her own, that's one song from one role. There's just a whole career. And for like the last two or three months, I have not been able to get I never knew Love Like This Before out of my head.
Yeah.
It's just like constantly playing in my head for some reason.
And that's crazy because I've been stuck on I've Learned to Respect the Power of Love, the song Angela Winbush. Did I mention the title? I've Learned to Respect.
So she's just been in the soundtrack of my mind for a minute.
Dope.
So
such a good voice too.
Yeah.
Unique voice too. And great performer. Didn't y'all see her live before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, right?
Yeah, tomorrow I went to the Skirmer Horn.
See?
Saw Stephanie.
So she's my nominee.
I nominate Chad Hugo.
Wow. Phil almost choked.
I literally almost choked. I was like,
Phil was like, how dare you bring up a VA?
VA person, you know how this goes.
I was watching the making of Justin Timberlake's first album, and for the first time I got to see the process of the Neptunes. Like, you see a lot of Pharrell, but you see very little of Chad Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a big part of the musical process.
Absolutely.
The Neptunes, that he don't get that respect. And then I found out that he produced Guapalé, Closer to My Dreams.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was my shit when it came out.
I had no idea.
I've actually known Chad longer than Pharrell.
Really?
So when I lived in Virginia Beach, he doesn't live there anymore, so I can say the neighborhood, but I lived in one neighborhood and Chad lived in the neighborhood over and called Sutton Place, where his parents lived at the time and where he first built his studio after working with Teddy. It was the studio over the garage. So I've actually been able to witness that greatness from like a teenager. I was like 14 or 15. And then, you know, Chad used to DJ as well, but he is brilliant.
Brilliant.
That's so
a good
Yeah,
nominee.
Chad, that's a great one. Shout out to VA, 2 up, 2 down, 757. Let's go.
Ooh, this is all right, hard.
This is really hard. Is hard.
So we got Marla Gibbs, Sheila E., Stephanie Mills, and Chad Hugo.
This might be one of the hardest ones we've had.
One of the hardest ones we've ever had.
Jeez.
Because I legit love all of these people.
All four of these people.
Like, I legit. That's crazy.
Y'all tripping. We got to give them the all four.
Let's get the voting.
We got to pick one.
All right.
You got to pick one.
All right, here we go. Phil?
Let's go. Marla Gibbs. It's all four hands up.
Marla Gibbs.
Sheila E. Well, we got two hands, two haters, and two people on the right side. Shout out to Sheila. Stephanie Mills. Two people. Okay. Chad Hugo. Three hands up for Chad.
So it wasn't that hard. Marla won.
Marla won.
With flying colors. She was like, fuck the rest of y'all. I'm gonna get my award.
We're talking about how hard it was going to be. It was hard at all.
Quite easy, actually. Nah, but real talk. I mean, when you said her name at the very beginning, it was almost obvious at that point because, I mean, she is the definition of legendary.
Right.
From the Jeffersons.
But she was so, man, that, man, she stole that role of Florence, man. That was so good. Just a great performance every time. So.
What was the movie she was in where she was smoking weed as an old lady? What movie was that?
I thought that was Pearl.
That was Pearl.
Pearl. That was Pearl. And
Don't be a menace.
Congratulations, Marla Gibbs, on your win for the Esther Roll Black Excellence.
Marla Gibbs ain't never smoked no weed.
No place like home. I mean, no place, child.
State of Black
Music.
What an episode. Ooh. What an episode. Like,
we on one, guys.
My head is still spinning at the fact that I talked to freaking Bobby Brown today. Like, this is crazy.
The legendary.
The legendary. The king.
The king of R&B.
King.
Man.
Might just call the episode The King of R&B because that's what it's really all about, the king. The Kang.
King.
And it was so cool, like, chill. I wish we could have gotten it, like, at least like two more hours.
I know,
we gotta invite him back. Yeah, man.
Come on back.
He said he wants to come back to Nashville.
He said he's going to the studio with Lewis York.
You know what I'm saying?
We're working on it right now.
Well, let's do that.
I feel like that'd be a dope combo. I mean, come on, think about it.
The king.
But when y'all work, I just want to be a fly on the wall.
You're invited. Y'all invited to the studio. For sure. But listen, like, let's just keep this going. I hope y'all are locked in and listen to these amazing conversations we're having, because we're asking the questions I think we always wanted to ask, right? To people that we always wanted to talk to. And it's all in honor of the state of Black music.
Mm-hmm.
So check us out on socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
SOBM.
SOBM.
Sob'em.
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 Sob'em podcast.
And check out those past two episodes that we've already released. We've been talking to some interesting people and having some interesting conversations. So y'all should check it out, man.
Yeah.
And we're just getting started. But I mean, this is feeling really good, y'all.
Feeling really good. Yeah. Thank you, Juanita Steffens, to Bobby's publicist. She helped us make that conversation a reality. Yeah. I want to shout out Juanita.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and thank you to the National Museum of African American Music. We couldn't do it without you. And visit Music City.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it without you either.
Cha-ching!
On that note, y'all, let's go ahead and plan some epic for this next one. Until next time.
Till next time.
No.
State of Black
Music.